Auszüge aus Dead Poets Society von N.H. Kleinbaum. Boys, he said as the bell rang, open your preacher text to the page 21 of the introduction. Mr. Perry, he gestured toward Neil, kindly read aloud the first paragraph of the preface entitled Understanding Poetry. The boys found the pages in their text, sat upright, and followed as Neil read. Understanding Poetry by Dr. J. Evan Pritchard, Ph.D. To fully understand poetry, we must first be fluent with its meter, rhyme, and figures of speech. Then ask two questions. 1. How artfully has the objective of the poem been rendered? And 2. How important is that objective? Question 1. Rates the poem's perfection. Question 2. Rates its importance. Once these questions have been answered, determining the poem's greatness becomes a relatively simple matter. If the poem's score for perfection is plotted on the horizontal of a graph, and its importance is plotted on the vertical, then calculating the total area of the poem yields the measure of its greatness. A sonnet by Byron might score high on the vertical but only average on the horizontal. A Shakespearean sonnet, on the other hand, would score high both horizontally and vertically, yielding a massive total area, thereby revealing the poem to be truly great. Keating rose from his seat as Neil read and went to the blackboard. He drew a graph demonstrating by lines and shading how the Shakespearean poem would overwhelm the Byron poem. Neil continued reading. As you proceed through the poetry in this book, practice this rating method. As your ability to evaluate poems in this manner grows, so will your enjoyment and understanding of poetry. Neil stopped and waited a moment to let the lesson sink in. Then Keating grabbed onto his throat and screamed horribly. Ah! He shouted. Refuse! Garbage! Pass! Rip it out of your books! Go on! Rip the entire page! I want this rubbish in the trash where it belongs! He grabbed the trash can and dramatically marched out the aisle, pausing for each boy to deposit the ripped page from his book. The whole class laughed and snickered. Make a clean tear, Keating cautioned. I want nothing left of it. Dr. J. Evans Pritchard, you are disgraceful. The laughter grew, and it attracted the attention of the schoolish Latin teacher, Mr. McAllister, across the hall. Mr. McAllister came out of his room and peeked into the door window as the boys ripped the pages from their books. Alarmed, he pulled open the door and rushed into Keating's room. What the... McAllister said, until he spotted Keating holding the trash can. Sorry, I didn't think you were here, Mr. Keating. Baffled and embarrassed, he backed out of the room and quietly closed the door. Keating strutted back to the front of the room, put the trash can on the floor, and jumped into it. The boys laughed louder. Fire danced in Keating's eyes. He stomped the trash a few times, then set out and kicked the can away. This is battle, boys, he cried. War! You are sold at a critical juncture. Either of you will succumb to the will of the academic hoi polloi, and the fruit will die on the vine, or you will triumph as individuals. Have no fear. You will learn what this school wants you to learn in my class. However, if I do my job properly, you will also learn a great deal more. For example, you will learn to savour language and words because no matter anyone tells you, words and ideas have the power to change the world. A moment ago, I used the term hoi polloi. Who knows what that means? Come on over, street you twerp. The class laughed. Anderson, are you a man or a boy? The class laughed again, and anyone looked at Todd. He tensed visibly and, unable to speak, jerkily shook his head. No? Meeks raised his hand. The hoi polloi, doesn't it mean the herd? Precisely, Meeks, Keating said. Greek for the herd. However, be warned that when you say the hoi polloi, you are actually saying the herd, indicating that you too are hoi polloi. Keating grinned wryly, and Meeks smiled. The teacher passed to the back of the room. Now Mr. Pitts may argue that 19th century literature has nothing to do with business school or medical school. He thinks we should study our J. Evans Pritchard, learn our rhyme and meter, and quietly go about our business of achieving other ambitions. Pitt smiled and shook his head. Who? Me? He asked. Keating slammed his hand on the wall behind him, and the sound reverberated like a drum. The entire class jumped and turned into the rear. Well, Keating whispered defiantly, I say, drivel. One reads poetry because he is a member of the human race, and the human race is filled with passion. Medicine, law, banking, these are necessary to sustain life. But poetry, romance, love, beauty, these are what we stay alive for. I quote from Whitman. O me, O life, of the questions of these recuing, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish. What good aim at these, O me, O life? Answer. That you are here, that life exists in identity, and that the powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse. Keating paused. The class sat silent, taking in the message of the poem. Keating looked around again, and repeated awestruck. That the powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse.